I'd like to welcome anyone who's new today. The name of my talk is Waiting Room. I'm in the waiting room of an outpatient clinic of a new hospital. I'm here accompanying my friend for her outpatient procedure. The waiting space is open and airy and designed for many people to be waiting. There are different configurations of places to sit, and since I'm here early, I've had my choice of places and I've found a little booth that overlooks the atrium, so that there's plenty of light. The table has places to plug in and recharge any device. I've brought a book and my computer, a water bottle and my phone. I am prepared for a long day here. On the other hand, it may be just a few hours. It's completely unknown, dependent on factors out of my control. That's the challenging thing about waiting. You don't know how long it will be that you are in this suspended state. It's up to the universe, with total disregard for you, your feelings, or anything to do with you. How you are able to negotiate this waiting time is as dependent on external as well as your internal conditions. We often seek out alternative mental states. Escape and distraction are most common. Playing games on the phone comes to mind, taking a walk, reading a book, my personal choice, knitting, doing exercises. Some people meditate. These coping mechanisms can work well when we are in the midst of neutral waiting. They help us lose track of the fact that we are waiting. But other kinds of waiting, those with more anxiety attached, are harder to get through. We can be ambivalent about certain periods of waiting, especially when the stakes are high. We want the waiting to be over, but we are afraid of the outcome, like waiting for the results of a biopsy. Then there's waiting for the callback, waiting for the rain to stop, waiting for the next COVID vaccine appointment. These strictly temporal events will likely happen eventually, but when they do is not in our control. I look up and notice that there are more people have arrived here in the waiting room. I watch a family, listen as the receiving clerk talks patiently to someone whose first language is not English. I watch a small child walk teeteringly on unsteady legs. I make up stories about why people are here, what they're waiting for. I love watching people. It gives an engaging frame to waiting. After a while, during certain kinds of waiting, you can lose track of normal time and you slip into that liminal space of waiting time. This kind of waiting has no end. It can plunge us into the familiar mental space of other times of waiting. Times when the body and mind drift and blend into memories. Because waiting is so common, we have plenty of time in our lives to learn to wait. We probably have developed our own personal ways of being with periods of waiting. There's a certain kind of waiting that I'm particularly familiar with. In fact, it was during this kind of waiting that I thought of writing this talk. It has its own name, insomnia, waiting for sleep. This is my most difficult waiting state. It brings its own kind of dread. Nights are long and dark. Sometimes the body is restless, other times not. Sometimes my mind is restless, other times not. Either way, sleep is elusive and fragile. It has always been like this for me. I can remember sitting on the top of the stairs when I was 3 or 4, waiting for my brother to come up to bed. My pattern of sleep and sleeplessness varies. During one oscillation, I can actually forget that I have trouble sleeping, but then a period of weeks or even months will come when I am awake, noticing the digital minutes slip past, waiting for sleep. There are other periods of waiting that we aren't in such a hurry to be over, like hearing the bell during a particularly clear meditation. Oh no, not yet. But of course, at other times, we have been waiting forever for the bell to ring. Can some kinds of waiting be neutral, like waiting for the water to boil? It seems interminable if you really need that cup of tea, but also not even noticeable if you are doing other things in the kitchen at the same time. The sound of the kettle snapping off comes as a surprise when you are watching the egg turn from liquid to just the right degree of solid. In such cases, you have lost track of your awareness of the mental state of waiting. Some waiting, on the other hand, has built-in negative conditions. We feel resentment for having to do it, like waiting for someone who is chronically late. Just the necessity to wait is often, in and of itself, insufferable. We are at the mercy of something or someone else. We are not in control. The length of our wait is external. How it feels to us is internal. They are separate, yet interconnected. Waiting is all about states of mind, our impatience, our dread, our longing. I realize I have been waiting in this waiting room for 2 hours now. The place is filling up. I need to use the restroom, but I don't want to pack up my stuff. There's a woman nearby, and I ask her if she'd mind watching my computer for a while. When I come back, we chat a bit. She's waiting during her partner's procedure and recovery. Her table is spread out with paper. I'm doing my taxes here today, she says, pleased with her resourcefulness. There are many factors which condition our ability to tolerate waiting. I had an extended reverie about how things shift and change internally while waiting. It was a few years ago, and we were waiting for a lift out in front of the house in the early hours. At first, it was pleasant, better than waiting inside. How often do we get outside in this quiet time of day? The air was fresh, the sun not up yet, but the sky was a beautiful shade of blue. We heard birds rustling. It was so peaceful. We were looking forward to our trip, to seeing places that were new to us. Everything around us was still. Why don't we get up like early like this more often? There were so few cars at this time that the one we see turning at the corner must certainly be our ride. We check our luggage again. Everything is here. But now the pleasantness changes. The car turning at the corner is not our ride. We begin to feel a little concerned. We start to wonder if the car will come. When will it come? Will we be late? How bad will the traffic be? Did we allow enough time to get to the airport? What if we miss the plane? We feel our apprehension rising. Looking at our watches, we note that there are still 4 minutes before the appointed pickup time. A small burst of relief floods through us, but we are still uneasy. How much longer will we have to wait? We become aware of how much our fretfulness is self-inflicted. Relax, we say to ourselves, there is plenty of time. We try to change the subject in our mind. We think of other things. Where are we going and why? What are we looking forward to? 5 minutes pass. Now they are late by 1 minute. Is 1 minute really late? Is our worry justified? How can we calm ourselves? 5 more minutes pass, still no lift. We check the phone again. The driver is 10 minutes from our location. How far behind schedule will that make us? What is the traffic like? Will we miss our plane? She shows up 6 minutes later. This time we are flooded with relief. We can still make it, depending on the traffic, of course. The driver is confident. Of course she is. This is her job. She drives to the airport several times a week. We hold our hand luggage on our lap and try to breathe, watching the traffic. At least we don't have to watch a taxi meter clicking higher and higher like in the old days. We arrive at the airport with plenty of time. We check our bags and get into the security line, where we wait. Both pleasant and unpleasant waiting have occurred within this time period. We have lived both the peacefulness of being outside in the early morning and the anxiety of a missed plane. By and large, we have been mostly aware of our mental state and how it changed from pleasant to anxious and what caused this mental fluctuation. But even so, we are neither in charge of nor to blame for our responses and reactions to external conditions. I look at my watch. I realize that I have been here in this outpatient waiting room for 4 hours now. I'm getting restless. I need to walk. I pack up my gear. Wish my computer wasn't so heavy. Who knows how much longer I'll be here? Waiting is just another of the many complex mental states that life brings us that we must bear and live through. Just one of the many forms that dukkha takes. And another instance in which perhaps the best we can do is to remember to be kind to ourselves. I walk around and around the atrium, lugging my too heavy briefcase, looking at all the other people waiting. and then I hear my name called. Thank you for your attention. May the goodness that arises from our practice and from this act of sharing be a benefit to all beings everywhere. So we'll